relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
And this is a wake-up call, not only for Israel, not only for the Jewish community. This is a wake-up call for all of you. All of you here, all of America, all of Europe. You are next. You are next. And we should do everything that we can to stop these atrocities.
Yonatan Lulu Shamariz, the brother of one of the hostages taken by Hamas 6 months ago, speaking here in America with a very, very stern warning, you are next. We still have Americans imprisoned, captive, under the arms of the terrorist organization that is Hamas. What is America doing? America is turning her back on our best friend in the region. Why and what will it mean? Well, I am honored to have in studio a woman who has been a warrior for the truth for years now. I'm honored to have known her for many, many years. And she's in D.C. right now to try and wake the rest of America up. She is the senior contributing editor for the Jewish News Syndicate, the author of numerous works, including The Israeli Solution and also Shackled Warrior. Carolyn Glick, welcome to America First.
Thanks. It's such a pleasure to be here in your studio, Sebastian.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. I am kind of mortified that we are in the seventh month of this tragedy and to witness what the American government is doing. Before we get to that, can you give us an update? How is Israel doing? How is the prime minister doing? And most importantly, the IDF, the members of the IDF.
So from an operational perspective, we have defeated Hamas as a conventional military, except in one place, which is the city of Rafah, which is a strategic zone. It's the border town with Egypt that controls the international border between Gaza and Egypt. And just as we were about to go in, essentially, the United States told us to stop. And so we're kind of in this holding position, trying to get through the American obstacles so that we can go and win the end of the conventional phase of the war. Throughout the rest of Gaza, we're already in a much lower intensity battle where we're doing mainly counter-terrorist operations against specific terrorist cells that are operating or terrorist strongholds like we saw in Shifa Hospital in the northern Gaza Strip, which Israel had taken over, and then the Hamas terrorists operating under the humanitarian assistance that the Americans are demanding that Israel enable, re-entered Gaza City, receded. And so we killed 200 terrorists in that so-called hospital complex a couple of weeks ago, and we arrested over 500 terrorists. So this is the kind of battle that we're going to be facing in the years to come throughout Gaza, but we still have to end the conventional phase of the high-intensity warfare with Hamas having 4 or 5 remaining standing battalions holed up in Rafah with much of their leadership there as well. So that's the order of business right now, and we're waiting for that to happen. And we're facing a lot of different sort of saturation bombing from all over in terms of international betrayal of Israel at this hour, but the public right now is waiting to see that we're moving forward, and there's a sense of frustration and concern that we may snatch defeat from the jaws of victory here if we don't proceed on and remain on offensive. So there's a lot of concern about that among the Israeli public.
Concerns about their own government, or concerns that the United States will get in the way of you doing what has to be done? Because I'm sure Israelis follow American politics closely, but was there any reaction? Did they catch that moment after the State of the Union where Biden said to a Democrat, Bibi has to have, he didn't realize his mic was on, and he says, Bibi has to have a come to Jesus moment when it concerns the ceasefire. What's the worry? Is the worry with us or with Israel?
The worry is with the United States. The worry is with the United States that the Biden administration has now really come forward and revealed that its strategic goal here is antithetical, not only to Israeli victory, but really, given the stakes in this war, to Israel's survival over time. If the Biden administration's position actually comes to its natural conclusion, then Israel's survival will be very much in question, because the Biden administration wants to maintain Hamas's control over Gaza by preventing them from being eradicated. And you know terrorists, all they need is to survive in order to rebuild.
Yeah.
And the United States is also really siding with Iran in its larger regional war against Israel, whether it's vis-a-vis the Houthis in the Red Sea or Hezbollah in Lebanon, or the Shiite militias in Iraq, Jordan, and Syria that Iran controls, or Iran itself that's speeding towards a nuclear arsenal. And in all of these things, the United States' response is to try to put out fires. They just gave Iran another $10 billion in cold, hard cash that they can use to continue to fund these wars.
Yeah. And what is life like in Israel? Has the massacre of the innocents on October 7th, does it hang like a cloud over everyday life? I mean, the Israeli people are very, very resilient. I mean, since 48, this is not the first time that they've been attempting to destroy you. But is this different now?
It's very different, because October 7th showed us what the end looks like. You know, we've always known what war looks like in Israel, but we never knew what defeat looked like. And October 7th was... We saw what it means when they say that they want to kill us all, that this is how they want to kill us all, and that they really mean it. And so I think that realization that they're serious has really changed the way that Israelis view our position. And it's also why there's such a sense of urgency among the Israeli public to finish the job and eradicate Hamas, because it's true that we're being attacked from multiple fronts simultaneously. But it's also true that it was Hamas and the Palestinians of Gaza that invaded Israel on October 7th and carried out the atrocities that day. And if they're not seen very obviously to have been completely defeated and annihilated in this war, then that guarantees that we're going to face another October 7th and another October 7th coming from all different fronts. And the threats aren't theoretical. I mean, they're very much right there, and they're manifesting themselves now in lower-level operations along all of Israel's borders.
Now, domestically, especially, I mean, it always has been since 48, since the rebirth of Israel, but especially after the end of the Cold War, politically, Israel was an incredibly heterogeneous society with Jews from all over the planet, making for a very variegated political culture. And, of course, a very divided one prior to October the 7th, with the arguments against the Constitutional Court and the attacks against the Prime Minister. Has that all changed? Have these various splinters come together because of the renewed emphasis on the existential threat you're surrounded by?
For the vast majority of Israelis, the rancor that characterized the country ahead of October 7th with the fight over the judicial reforms that the Netanyahu government sought to enact and then was met by fierce opposition from the left and from Israel's deep state, that sort of fell by the wayside because people recognized what we were facing and that we had to defeat this enemy. But what we found is that there is a hardcore of leftists who now it appears that they're working very closely with the administration, and they're all guided by the same underlying belief that Hamas is a secondary threat and that the main one is Benjamin Netanyahu. And so you have a small minority of Israelis who think that the most urgent order of business is not to defeat the enemy. In fact, by their own telling, they're willing to accept defeat at the hands of Hamas because they believe that that would foment the collapse of Netanyahu's government and oust him from power. So we're talking about a pathology at this point. It's not a rational calculation. Now, they comprise a very small group of Israelis. Unfortunately, they're very wealthy.
Loud? Are they loud?
Very loud, very well connected. They have the support of three-quarters of Israel's television stations and probably more radio stations and the daily newspaper. So, you know, they're trumpeting this idea that we would have a hostage deal already if it weren't for Netanyahu blocking it. And the only reason that Netanyahu is blocking a hostage deal is because he wants to remain in power and he doesn't want the war to end. But, of course, as George Orwell said, the fastest way to end a war is to lose it.
Yeah.
And the hostage deal that's now on the table is essentially a deal that would require Israel to end its offensive operations, allow Hamas to emerge victorious, and release 900 terrorists, including 100 murderers from our jail. So these are things that are very difficult to swallow because the implications for the public is very clear. It's also not clear how many of the hostages have survived this long in captivity.
We're talking to Carolyn Glick. The website is carolynglick.com, host of the Carolyn Glick Show. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, a one-on-one. Make sure you never miss any of our deep dive interviews with the true experts and newsmakers like Carolyn. Subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you prefer. Leave us a five-star review and share with your friends. We will be back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
And you can be with me physically this July 4th weekend as we sail the beautiful waterways of the most spectacular state of the Union. It's our Patriots Alaska cruise. I'm so excited. I've never been to Alaska. I've never even been on a cruise. Join us for the trip of a lifetime with fellow Patriots. I'll be there with my muse, Katie, with Jennifer Horn, with Chris DeGarl, and our morning maven, Mike Gallagher. Only a few cabins left, more than 300 already booked. Don't miss this trip of a lifetime with people that love this nation as much as you do. Check out the amazing itinerary and reserve your cabin today, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. She's no longer the Speaker of the House, but she won't keep her gob shut. Nancy Pelosi also weighing in on the events of October the 7th.
October 7th was barbaric. It was horrible what they did to the Israeli people and the rest. Hamas is a terrorist organization. We need to free the hostages, all of the hostages. But nearly 33,000 people dying, people starving, hydration, famine, and the rest. There has to be a better way.
She had a Biden moment there. She was about to say 33 million people dying in Gaza. She said 33,000. Carolyn, I got to ask you this, because this is what my friend Chris Plant calls the left's information dominance. When Joe Rogan, who has the biggest podcast platform on the planet, talks about the 30,000 innocent people killed in Gaza, this is a figure from Hamas,
right,
from the Hamas health ministry. So from the terrorist, I mean, it's kind of ironic, the terrorist health ministry.
Right.
Can you comment on how mass media across the globe and the former Speaker of the House just, oh, yeah, what the terrorist said is true?
Right. I find it appalling. And I just want to say one more thing. Israel's army is a citizen's army. Those are our sons. Those are the boys that we raised to adulthood. They're not murderers. And so from our perspective, it's not some sort of a theoretical, oh, they're mean, or oh, they're evil, or oh, they're...
They're talking about your kids.
They're talking about our children.
Right.
And it's a total lie and a slander. And that's one of the things they also don't understand. They think that we're going to be embarrassed when they put out these lies about our military. They have another thing coming. We know exactly who our soldiers are because we raised them. And so when they say things like that, when Joe Rogan said such an ignorant, stupid, obnoxious, and mean-hearted thing, you know, he was maligning our kids.
Yeah.
And unlike the Palestinians, we raise our children to love life and to view life as sacred. They raise their children from the age of nothing to the day they die to sanctify death. That's
and
what they
I
do.
Know the IDF. I've worked with the IDF. You are the most, I would say, of all the militaries I've worked with, and I've trained from at least 30, 40 countries over my career, the most legally constrained fighting force. I mean, I've met with your lawyers in uniform, and you are so scrupulous in making sure that you don't have collateral, you know, civilian casualties. And to say, this is the army of citizen soldiers that is committing quote-unquote genocide?
Right.
I mean, let's talk about this figure that, oh my gosh, there's starvation. Somebody did the math yesterday. I love this. They added up all the aid that has flown into Gaza in the last 6 months, and they said that food could feed the whole population of Gaza and the West Bank for more than a year. So how are people starving if they've got food that is double their requirements? Could it be that maybe Hamas is stealing it, Caroline?
It's not just that it's being stolen. It's that we're being subjected to an all-out campaign of slander, demonization, and delegitimization. You know, I love it the way that former Speaker Pelosi was talking about how horrible the atrocities were and that Hamas is a terrorist organization. But, you know, she won't support anything that Jewish people do in order to prevent that from happening again? If it was so terrible, then why are you undermining Israel's efforts, our just war, our moral cause to protect our people and to get our hostages free? She says she wants all of the hostage freed. Then why does she keep empowering Hamas? Why is she supporting Hamas by saying that she wants to, you know, cut off arms shipments to Israel? Who's going to be helped by that? Hamas.
Yeah.
Who's going to be helped by that? All the people that she claims to find appalling and horrible, and yet she's saying, no, you can't actually war against them. I mean, it's there's nothing true about the allegations that are made against it.
Well, let's go back to just this one point, and you made it personal immediately because of your family and their involvement in the defense of the nation. But let's just focus on this as a journalist.
Right.
The idea that the terrorist group says once, oh, 30,000 civilians killed, and it becomes the talking point of the mainstream media across America. The former Speaker of the House regurgitates it. Joe Rogan regurgitates it. I mean, at some point, you have to doff your cap and say, these guys are really good at propaganda.
No, it's not that they're that great at propaganda. It's that you have
journalists are so stupid.
No, you have a willing audience. You have people who want to believe the worst about Israel. You have people who want to pretend that the problem lays with Israel because that solves all the hard policy making that you'd have to do if the problem really is much bigger than Israel, and Israel is actually the victim here and is fighting your fight. If you can blame the victim, if you can say that it was all Israel brought it on by itself by some imaginary occupation which ended in Gaza completely 18, 19 years ago now, then you don't actually have to do anything. You don't have to be worried about the problem. You don't have to close your southern border. You don't have to protect your own homeland because you're saying that the problem lies only with the Jewish state. And if they just stood down, everything would be fine. We don't have a problem with radical Islam that calls death to America every morning, noon, and night in Iran. No, everything's fine. No threat whatsoever. This is all about the Jews, and they're responsible. And we like them when they're dead because then they're perfect victims. But if they stand up for themselves and try to make sure that they're...
They're oppressors.
Then we're oppressors and we're committing genocide. All of the threat, all of the crimes that are carried out against us are projected onto us, and we're accused of them. I mean, Joe Rogan, you know, I love him sometimes. He's funny. He's the kind of guy you listen to and you're like, well, I would really like to have a beer with that guy. He's cool, right? But then he says this and it's pure poison. Yeah. Like, how did that happen? What happened to him that he could come away with this idea that the state of Israel, the only liberal democracy in the Middle East, would ever even think about doing anything we're accused of? It's crazy.
We talked to Caroline Glick. Follow her on Twitter, at Caroline Glick, Caroline with a C. And give us a follow as well. We're on all the social media platforms that matter. Look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch our show, yes, on your Roku, your Fire Stick, on your Samsung Plus device, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content from me, my latest article went up yesterday. Go to my Substack. Yes, direct access to me and my articles at sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word. I know it's a little weird. sebastiangorka.substack.com. Subscribe today. And if you want to have, as Caroline said, borders, if you want to have national sovereignty, remember 4 years without war? Wasn't that delightful? Well, then support President Trump. Fly the flag that says it all. And if you want to stop the deep state, you made it number one. It's the mug. It's the T-shirt with a very simple message. Trump 2024 with that booking photograph from Atlanta. And I didn't know this was going to happen. But on the flip side, the number one T-shirt in the last month was Dementia Joe Has Got to Go, with him eating his favorite vanilla ice cream cone. Get all of that and so much more, including all my books at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. You can support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. We'll be back with Caroline in a moment. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Welcome back, dear friends. Welcome back. Another friend of the president's is, of course, a great supporter of this show, Mike Lindell. Buy American. He's got hundreds of items on his website, not just the MyPillow, the only pillow that doesn't get hot, keeps its shape through the night. There's a reason he sold 81 million of them, because they are that good. But his website is full of items for you and your pleasure, made here in America by Americans. Don't buy that Chinese garbage on Amazon. Call them up today. Use my name for up to 2/3 off and free shipping. You will not get a deal like that anywhere else. MyPillow.com or call up 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Who are the Democrats? They are the home of institutionalized Jew hatred and self-hatred. If you listen to Chuck Schumer, the most senior Democrat in the Senate, I guess he doesn't want Israelis to pick their own prime minister. Play cut.
Israel is a democracy. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
I don't care who you are in Israel. I don't think you're happy with having Americans at the floor of the Senate tell you who your prime minister should be. Well, Caroline, your reaction?
I think that what Schumer did was appalling. And, you know, as a Jewish person, if he wants to, he can claim a right of citizenship in Israel, just as all Jews can in the world. And then he can come and he can vote in the Israeli elections. Because we're a democracy, and everybody who's a citizen can vote, including Arabs, including Christians, including Muslims, including everybody. So, you know, I don't understand why he thinks that it's an acceptable move to tell Israelis what we should do in the middle of a war. But again, it goes back to undervaluing or underestimating or just not understanding, refusing to recognize what kind of war we're facing. If this is a war for our survival, and I mean, it's just so trivial, all of these things.
Can you walk us through this one thing that boggles my mind? That in the 20th century, the Holocaust is a milestone.
Right.
And the idea that that's within living memory. There are survivors of that today. But now Israel is deemed to be an oppressor by the left. You've been charting these issues for decades. Mm-hmm. When did that switch occur? Was it Israel became too successful as a state after 48? Was it the critical race theory, left-wing radicalism of the last decade? When did Israel go from being the nation of people almost wiped out by the Nazis to being the oppressor?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I think that you have to date the beginning of it to the end of the Six-Day War in 1967, because two things happened in that war. I mean, people like Nancy Pelosi are always happy to cry about Jews who are dead, but they don't like the idea of Jews being powerful and strong and free. And so in 67, Israel gave a whooping to all of the Arab countries that came together and tried to invade us and throw us into the sea. And we weren't supposed to succeed that well. So you had the Europeans just turn tail on Israel, that were our biggest supporters, the French, the Dutch, and others. And suddenly they started attacking us. De Gaulle attacked us. I think he said we were pushy. I can't remember. It was sort of the first mainstreaming of anti-Semitism after the Holocaust. So that was the first thing. And also the Soviets.
So you only get sympathy if you're dead as a Jew.
Right. Everybody loves dead Jews. But then Russia, the Soviet Union, cut off ties with Israel after the war. And when that happened, all of the communist parties in the West became immediately anti-Israel. In fact, the Communist Party in America that had a lot of Jews who were pro-Israel split. And a lot of Jews left because they're like, wait a minute, we didn't sign on for this. But the vast majority, and then, you know, to the extent that that became the Democratic Socialists of America and began getting more and more mainstream in this country and in Europe, that was when you started seeing the real transformation of the left.
So you were too successful in beating the Arab nations who wanted to destroy you, and therefore the narrative had to flip.
Right, because then the Jewish state is only good when we need other people and when everybody feels bad for us and says, oh, poor little Israel, we're so sorry for you. The minute that we were a lion of Judah and began to roar, they didn't bargain for that.
Yeah, you're fine as a pet, as a little pet, but when you stand on your own
two feet. We can be one big refugee camp, but the homeland of the Jewish people,
That's why we love Caroline. She always brings the receipts. She gives us the answers. The website is carolineglick.com.
And JNS.org.
And what? Oh, JNS, sorry, JNS, the Jewish News Syndicate, JNS.org, where she is the senior contributing editor. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. What role can you play to take back the republic from the lunatic left? Well, how about one very simple way that you can do right now? If you have a cell phone that's tied to the big cell phone providers, every call you make, every text you send is funding the left. The big cell phone providers, you know who they are, donate millions of dollars every year to causes that are antithetical to your value system, such as Planned Parenthood, such as organizations that censor and cancel conservatives. Why would you pay the enemy with every call you make and every text you send? There is one conservative cell phone company in America. It's the one I use. It is Patriot Mobile. They have the same nationwide coverage, free activation with my name, extra discounts for veterans and first responders, and they believe in America and have donated millions of dollars to the First Amendment cause, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. Switch today. You keep your old number, keep your old phone, or get an upgrade, but don't wait another second. Don't fund your enemies. Call today. 972 to Patriot, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Join the good guys, people who love America just like you do. 972-728-7468. patriotmobile.com/GORKA. You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA.
Look, and I'm not suggesting that Hamas deliberately did it either. It's that old thing, gotta learn how to shoot straight.
You've got to learn how to shoot straight? The commander-in-chief of the greatest nation on God's green earth says that the Hamas terrorists have got to learn to shoot straight? You mean they shouldn't bomb their own hospitals but should kill more Jews? That actually happened. He said that on camera on Air Force One. Truly, truly incredible. This is America First One-on-One. As I mentioned previously, I'd like everyone listening, there's 3.5 million of you right now, if there's anyone left who is with one of the big cell phone companies, switch today to Patriot Mobile. You heard my story. Two Christmases ago, I arrived home with a FedEx package on my doorstep. My phone company, it's one that, you know, rhymes with Horizon, had surrendered to Nancy Pelosi's illegal January 6th committee and was going to give my cell phone data, my wife's cell phone data, and my children's cell phone data to Congress illegally. That's when I said, enough is enough. I switched to Patriot Mobile, the only conservative cell phone company in America. They're by your side, and they will protect your data. Switch, call 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. 972-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Free activation with my name. I took 350 listeners, Caroline, to Israel a year ago, and we had an amazing tour of the City of David beneath Jerusalem. And our tour guide, who I'm sure you know, stopped the group at one point, and he just kind of from the heart, he spoke, because he knew I worked in the Trump White House, and he said, do you have any idea what it's like to be an Israeli today? Because for 4 years you loved us. Now for 4 years you're helping our enemies. We think you're a bunch of schizophrenics in America. Does Israel understand what's happened in the White House? Do they get it that it's not Americans, it's the rot of the left?
We do get it. But the fact is that, I mean, I think what this shows us more than anything else is that we have to limit our strategic dependence on the United States, because, you know, we're market takers, we're not market makers here. Yeah. And I think that it actually, you know, our need for strategic independence also jibes very well with the Trump doctrine, which is be good to your allies and bad to your enemies, because then people will want to be your allies. And more to the point, if the United States wants to disengage from the Middle East and all of the wars of our region, I mean, Trump left with a region at peace because he had followed his own doctrine, and he was fantastic to America's allies and terrible to Iran and its
well, and the Abraham proxies. Accords and
exactly.
Ambassador Friedman.
All
Jared.
Of that happened because of the intuition that Trump has, which is if you want to disengage, then your allies have the same enemies as you do, and if they can fight them on their own because with America's support, then you don't have to. And that's the whole concept of the U.S.-Israel alliance. And what we're seeing now is another administration came in, and the first thing that Biden set out to do his first day already when he took the Houthis off the list of foreign terrorist organizations, piece by piece, he has destroyed everything on purpose that Trump accomplished, because he doesn't, because he follows the exact opposite ideal, that you're bad to your enemy, you're bad to your friends, and you're good to your enemies, because then maybe your enemies will see that you're not serious and they'll be nice to you. It's a crazy doctrine, but it is his.
It's what I said when I was in the White House. I said it publicly. I borrowed it from the Marine Corps when I was asked, so what's the president's national security posture? I said, very easy. No better friend, no worse enemy.
Exactly.
Now you're a scholar of these issues. You've written works such as The Israeli Solution and Shackled Warrior. So I feel comfortable asking the impolitic question, the rude question that you're not supposed to ask. Let's put this headline up. This is what nobody will mention. More than 70% of Gazans are in favor of the slaughter of the innocents on October 7th. There's no solution to this. There's no solution to this unless Israel controls that territory until the end of time. If Egypt doesn't builds a wall and doesn't want these people, if Jordan doesn't want these people, well, I'm not surprised, because 70% of them are fine with what I saw on that film. Young boys being killed, men being decapitated with blunt garden hose.
Right.
They're fine with that. Caroline, there is no diplomatic, political, economic solution to this, is there?
No, I mean, this is a military problem. It's a sociological problem. It's a problem of barbarism. And the truth of the matter is that the way you handle something like that is that you scatter it, because they're all together. They're all steeped in the same stew of hatred. And the United States has blocked the one thing that would enable them to get out from under this, which is to allow them to leave. And the United States, first thing that they did practically after October 7th was they insisted that nobody is allowed to leave Gaza, which is amazing, because you remember with the Ukraine war that the first thing that the Biden administration did was it bore down both on Congress and also on U.S. allies in Europe that they have to take Ukrainians. And that's what they did with the Syrians, and that's what they did with the Iraqis and with everybody else. Only the people of Gaza have to stay there, and they're all Israel's problem. Yeah. We have to take care of them. It's a pretty and an amazing thing. It's really an amazing
thing. Yeah, just this one thing that others have observed, but it bears repeating. Why is it that Biden, the Democrats, the mainstream media, the chattering classes, the so-called elites say, oh, there has to be a ceasefire. Israel has to stop shooting. But in Ukraine, I haven't heard any call for ceasefire. So strange. Far, far more people have been killed on both sides of that conflict. But that's just fine. Maybe it has to do with Hunter Biden's former business partners. We're talking to Caroline Glick. She is the senior contributing editor for the Jewish News Syndicate, jns.org. You have to follow her right now, at Caroline Glick on Twitter and on her website, carolineglick.com. And check out her podcast as well, The Caroline Glick Show. It's very good. I truly recommend it. We are broadcasting to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor, it's real. It works. It is liberating over a million Americans from their daily pain. I happen to be one of them. I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free as of January, 5 years later. But it's not just me. It's people like, let's look at Alicia's story. Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees did not get a rest. I literally limped to and from bed 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That should be your story. That could be your story. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Alicia, and over a million of your fellow Americans. The 3-week quick starter pack costs just $19.95. Now, I'm no STEM maven, but even I can do that math. 3 weeks, $19.95, that's less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? You can't even get a good cup of coffee. You deserve to know if you should be the next success story. Find out today. There's only one way. Don't wait another nanosecond. Call right now. Write the number down. 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
First, there's one condition for anything that could happen and the good things that could happen once this war is over. And that condition is that Hamas must be destroyed.
For you classicists out there, Bibi was borrowing from a prior conflict. Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. And it's true. So must Hamas. We are back for the last few moments with our fabulous friend of the Jewish News Syndicate, contributing senior editor. She has a website, carolineglick.com, and a podcast as well. Caroline, I got to ask you this, because I keep hearing from my Jewish friends that they've woken up. The secular Jews now get it, and they're not going to vote for the Democrats because they know the home of Jew hatred is the Democrat Party. I'm not sure I'm so convinced. I know our Orthodox friends, 93-94%, are going to vote for President Trump and bring the greatest philo-Semite since 1948 back into the White House. What is your message? First, you buy this, they've woken up. And if you don't, you're talking to millions of people across the nation. What is your message to Jewish Americans who vote Democrat?
I mean, some of the people who vote Democrat who are Jewish see themselves first and foremost as progressives or liberals and not as Jews. But I think that that what's happened since October 7th is that American Jews have been suffering from the largest onslaught of anti-Semitism in this country they've ever seen. And
so will that wake them up?
I think that it's beginning to dawn on a lot of people. I know that I have some acquaintances, I wouldn't even say friends, because we've been in such disagreement about politics for so long, or suddenly posting things on Facebook about, I'm done with the Democratic Party. These are people you'd never think. Hmm. But it's a question of whether they see the world first as Jews or first as liberals or progressives. And I think that the ones who have children who are on campuses or grandchildren or themselves are on campuses and being attacked physically and harassed everywhere they go, I think that that's a big wake-up call for them. And really the elite institutions that Jews have always aspired to be members of, they're the ones who have become most institutionally anti-Semitic. So there's a sense of true betrayal for many, many Jews that you would have never expected. I think in states like Nevada, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, where you have the margin of errors in 16 and 20 were much smaller than the Jewish population, that the Jews of those swing states can end up being you know, very, very pivotal in the election results. So it's not just Muslims who's called death to America in Dearborn, Michigan. It's also Jews who say, Am Yisrael Chai, in Pennsylvania, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, that really should be looked to for keys to the election results.
May you be right. That hour flew by. Follow her, subscribe to her podcast, her webpage, carolynglick.com. And if you want peace and prosperity and relations to be settled geopolitically, let's get President Trump back in the White House. Get all your America First gear at our website, sebgorkastore.com. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
What are the limits to doing the right thing? It's kind of a philosophical sounding question, isn't it? Sometimes it's a little complicated to know what the right thing to do is. But sometimes it really isn't. Is there going to be a cost to doing that thing? And how much should the cost to you personally factor into your doing the right thing? All right, enough of the philosophy lesson. Let's turn it into real instances of what I'm talking about. Greetings, welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Do not go anywhere for the next 3 hours. We have an amazing lineup of guests for you. The third hour guest today is a good friend of mine. So delighted she is in the swamp today. You don't want to, well, if you have to go somewhere super important, like you're going to meet President Trump, or they're going to give you the Congressional Medal of Honor, okay, but otherwise, listen to the whole 3 hours. The third hour is available on podcast. Make sure you are subscribed on the platform of your choice. It matters not to me which it is, Salem, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends, but don't miss the show. So I might be attending an event later today at a conservative organization, where somebody called Chairman Comer will be speaking. And it's an event that I didn't organize, but the idea for the event came from me. It's on the weaponization of the state against patriots. Patriots like Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle, Kyle Serafin, the FBI, DOJ whistleblowers. And should you always be polite to everybody, even when they're pathetic? Earlier today, I was on Newsmax, and I didn't know what we were going to talk about. And they discussed Chairman Comer and the fact that the Biden Department of Justice is refusing, as per his request, to release the 5 hours of audio recordings of Joe Biden's deposition on the illegally held classified documents that he kept for decades in his garage, in his office, in tattered cardboard boxes. Now, lest we forget, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, the FBI are part of the executive. The executive, whether it's the Department of Energy, whether it's the Department of Justice, whether it's any part of government, is overseen by Congress. That's called the checks and balances of our founding fathers' system of governance. Congress has oversight of the executive. That's why they have subpoena power. Merrick Garland is refusing to release the audio of special counsel Robert Hur's deposition of Joe Biden. You know, the one where he couldn't remember what year his son died or when he was vice president. Refusing to release. So what is Chairman Comer going to do? I recommended that he grow a pair of testicles on television earlier today. Because otherwise, we have no congressional oversight over the most powerful law enforcement entity in the world. Forget Scotland Yard and fictional characters like Sherlock Holmes. The FBI and the DOJ has power like no other law enforcement agency. And somebody has to make sure they're not abusing it. So, Jim, if they refuse to give you those tapes, what are you going to do about it? Here's an example from a few years ago that may illuminate you. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann was horrified during the Obama administration that counterterrorism training of FBI agents was being censored. People like me who were doing that training were having their materials illegally classified and deep-sixed in the bowels of the Department of Justice. Lecture notes, PowerPoint slides that people like me had written based on open source material, on the strategy of Al-Qaeda, on the strategy of groups like ISIS, what they said about jihad, what they said in their statements, in their publications like the ISIS magazine Inspire, about the need to kill all infidels, Jews, Christians, and apostates. Those materials were being censored, were being disappeared. Why? Because Obama didn't like them. Michelle Bachmann is a new congresswoman, an amazing patriot. Man, do I wish that she was still here on Capitol Hill. Demanded that the FBI show her the documents that they were hiding, that they were classifying as secret. Obama's DOJ, do you remember Eric Holder? Held in contempt of Congress, who proudly announced that he is Obama's wingman. Wingman. Protecting Obama. He refused to hand over those documents. Documents I had written. So the third, fourth time that Obama's flunkies did that, what did Michelle Bachmann do? All, what, 85 pounds of her? She's like the, you know, the pre-Lauren Boebert, the proto-Lauren Boebert. God bless her. She drove to the FBI headquarters, demanded to be let in, and sat in the basement of the Hoover building until they produced all the documents they had illegally classified. And with two FBI goons standing behind her, watching her as a member of Congress with oversight authority, she read those documents and found out that they shouldn't have been classified, that they told the truth about jihadi terrorists and the threat to America. So, Chairman Comer, Can you be a little bit more like Michelle Bachmann? Here's an idea. You've got a few hours till the end of the show. Why don't you jump in one of your congressional SUVs and drive over to the Department of Justice, walk in the front door, flash them your congressional lapel pin, and tell them, as the chairman of the committee, which has oversight over their administrative department, you are not leaving the building until they hand over all 5 hours of the Biden deposition. If you're a patriot that takes your job seriously, it's really the only thing you can do. I'll wait. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. We need him back to do what the rhinos refuse to do. President Trump, the mugshot seen around the world, we put it on a T-shirt. We put it on a mug so you can stand with the outlaw president who has vowed to be your retribution. Get yours today, sebgorkastore.com, sebgorkastore.com. And you also made this one, the most popular in the last month. It's Joe with his favorite cone of vanilla ice cream. And all it says is Dementia Joe has got to go. Get those in all of my books, including Defeating Jihad, about the terror threat to America, sadly more relevant than ever, at sebgorkastore.com. That's sebgorkastore.com. And support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.